to all the people in the region. He stopped short of endorsing a two-state solution, a point of contention now with Palestinian leaders. And Kushner's long sit-down with Netanyahu is not expected to yield any breakthroughs. The two sides have failed for months to formulate an agreement on how to limit Jewish settlement building, an essential step before peace talks can reopen. Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
In this country, Baltimore Police Commissioner Kevin Davis is trying to explain body cam video that appeared to show an officer planting drugs during an arrest. Davis says the video shows the officer recreating the discovery of drugs discarded by a suspect.
This is a bump in the road that affects my police officers that I know were acting with good intentions. They do not deserve to have their character challenged based on a subjective interpretation of a video clip.
Showbiz obituary. His agent reports actor Jay Thomas has died after a bout with cancer. He was best known for playing Jerry Gold on Murphy Brown. Most recently, he was in Ray Donovan. Jay Thomas was 69 years old. This is ABC News.
My name is Jim. I'm a veteran, and I lost both legs in Vietnam. My victory was proving that disability is not a limitation.
I'm Julius. I'm a veteran. My victory was going from homeless to home.
At DAV, we're on a mission, helping veterans of all generations get the benefits they've earned.
I'm Cece. My victory was finishing my education.
When America's veterans win, we all win. Help us support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
How's the weather down there?
Check the weather channel.
Shall we talk about the weather?
Time now for a look at the local weather forecast brought to you by KOAL's Barter Bar. Today will be mostly sunny with the high near 86 with southwest winds 5 to 7 miles per hour. Tonight will be partly cloudy with a low around 54 with a 20% chance of isolated showers and thunderstorms before midnight. That has been a quick look at your weather forecast on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM and brought to you by KOAL's Barter Bar.
Dr. Kyle Jeffrey is a board-certified general surgeon in our area that schedules office visits in both Price and Castledale. Dr. Jeffrey has experience with breast surgery, gallbladder, pancreatic, liver disease, and upper and lower gastrointestinal disease. And, of course, common preventative procedures such as endoscopy or colonoscopy. To schedule your appointment with Dr. Jeffrey for either Price or Castledale, call 613-7874. That's 613-7874.
Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets you to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit. They keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat your children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. It's KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. Jordan Buscarini alongside Travis Anderson. On the show today, we are going to get some local sports talk in. Coach Tom King of the Carbon Dino Golf Squad will join us. That'll be next segment. The Carbon Golf Team is just unloading on squads right now. Did you see their lead?
I did.
97 strokes.
Domination.
In three meets, they have opened up a 97-stroke lead. That is domination. We'll talk to Coach Tom King about that coming up in just a bit. Also, we'll continue our college football talk. We got a little bit into the Pac-12 talk yesterday. But we mostly talked about USC and Clay Helton. Today we're going to bounce around because, again, we are a week away from college football here on KOL.
BYU plays Saturday.
Yeah. The Utes will open it up next Thursday, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So we're not that far off as far as college football, just counting down the days. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really, really excited for this year as far as college football goes. BYU obviously getting Portland State on Saturday, and then next Thursday it's North Dakota at Utah, Rice-Eccles Stadium. So we'll talk some college football. How about some Major League Baseball scores? And before we do that, with all this talk about the Dodgers and how they continue to win games in epic fashion, last night Rich Hill became the first pitcher in Major League Baseball history to be not only have a no-hitter, but he was, he had a no-hitter through eight.
He was perfect through eight.
Had a no-hitter going into the 10th inning, and then it ended with a walk-off shot. Never happened in Major League Baseball history before.
It's crazy. He pitched so well.
He was unstoppable.
Yeah, Chase Utley makes a great play, and then you have the error. And
from Logan Forsythe, yeah.
Going to the 10th inning, and that one pitched, and it was over.
Perfect through nine innings.
I wanted him to get it.
And one of the most offensively efficient teams in the league could not muster up one run. The Dodgers right now up on the Pirates 2-1. This is in the top of the sixth inning. Final scores from today. The Diamondbacks defeat the Mets 3-2. It was the Marlins over the Phillies 9-8. The Tigers and the Yankees 10-6 final in this one. But Travis, there were some fireworks.
Got a brawl at home plate.
Miguel Cabrera showing off his skills with the left hand. And a couple of other finals today. The Tampa Bay Rays topped the Blue Jays 2-0. It was Colorado over Kansas City 3-2. Still to come tonight, plenty of baseball action. The Red Sox at the Indians at 5:10. We get the Cubs at the Reds. Padres take on the Cardinals. Nationals will be on the road to take on the Astros. Love this matchup. I love it. Steven Strasburg goes up against Dallas Keuchel tonight as well. It's an important game.
Very important game, and that's a great pitching matchup.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I know you think the Dodgers are going to be the last team standing, but Strasburg and Keuchel, that's an epic World Series matchup if we were to get it, which is possible.
Yeah, it'd be a great game one.
Twins take on the White Sox at 6:10. Nightcap tonight, we have the Angels playing host to the Rangers. That's what's happening in Major League Baseball. NBA talk for you for a minute. LeBron James goes on a rant yesterday about fans burning jerseys. Now, before I get into specifics of what LeBron actually said, I want your opinion on fans burning jerseys.
I think it's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. It's a waste. You're buying a $90 to $100 jersey, and then you're burning it. Give it to somebody. Donate it. Why are you burning it? You're just burning it for attention.
If you're a sports fan, you have a jersey.
Yes.
Of someone. And odds are that guy doesn't play anymore. Now, I loved jerseys when I was a kid. Loved them. As an adult, every now and then, I'll open up the wallet and buy, like, a legendary jersey.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Maury Wills or a Jackie Robinson jersey. But for grown men who pay $90 to $100 for a jersey and then take it out back and torch it when that player leaves, I've never been able to understand it. Because at the end of the day, you're buying a piece of sports memorabilia, and that's what a jersey is.
Go get an autograph and frame something.
Give it away. I've always felt that. However, LeBron James really went after the critics last night. Here's what he said on Twitter. The burning of the jersey thing is getting ridiculous now. The man was traded. What do you not understand? And played in a game after his sister's tragic death. Gordon Hayward paid his dues as well and decided to do what's best for him and his family. Put in the work, got better, became an all-star, etc. If these guys weren't good, you guys would be the first to say, get them up and out of here. Man, beat it. When we, in quotation marks, decide to do what's best for us, it's cowardly or traitor, etc. But when it's on the other side, it's business. Okay, man, do what you feel is best for your profession. Love, family, happiness, and continue to strive for greatness. That's what LeBron James said, like a series of six or seven tweets. While I agree with you that it's stupid to burn a jersey, at the end of the day, it is good publicity for the NBA. Think about it.
Yeah,
believe it or not, it's good publicity. They're in the news. And for LeBron James to come out, this guy always has to, he always has to be the voice of reasoning, or at least he thinks, right?
Yeah.
I never give him the benefit of the doubt. I get it. I'm biased against LeBron James. I'm never going to give this guy credit when he says something, partly because half the time when he says stuff, I think he's stupid. I think this guy opens his mouth, and I think LeBron James does a terrific job of making sure he's the center of attention. You don't think Cleveland was upset when LeBron James left? When you spit in their face on national television, they probably had a right to burn your jersey. Isaiah Thomas, a little bit different story. This guy didn't leave via free agency. This guy was traded. I don't think Celtic fans should be burning his jersey. Jazz fans upset about Gordon Hayward? Sure they are. They're in a small market. They thought this guy was going to be the next big thing. They thought that he would be the next superstar to get his jersey retired in the rafters at Vivint. Not the case. I understand why fans do it. I don't agree with it. I wouldn't do it. I think it's ridiculous for an NBA player to get on Twitter and call out the fans doing it. If you don't like it, LeBron, just don't mention it. I'll tell you why LeBron James is so animated about this individual topic. Because people in Cleveland are going to be burning LeBron James jerseys at this time next year. That's why LeBron is so animated on this topic.
He's good as gone.
He knows it, and that's why he's talking about it.
He's good as gone. With these tweets, I'm 100% he's gone.
Now again, I'm not saying his opinion on it is wrong, but to really sit there and call out the fans like that on Twitter, I don't. This guy has an agenda. He always has an agenda. Always. He's not coming to the rescue of Gordon Hayward. He's not sticking up for Gordon Hayward. He's setting up for when fans are burning his jersey next season. That's what's happening.
Yeah, I just don't understand the burning of the jersey. Just
I would never give it to somebody.
No.
I would never do it. Take it to DI.
Yeah.
Take it to DI and let someone own a jersey. That's my take on it. However, this guy, yeah, he just goes completely off on Twitter. Others, and unfortunately, that's one of the top headlines in the national sports scene today, just because there hasn't been a whole lot going down. Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor, we are 2 days away from the fight. Floyd Mayweather says today he is 100% positive he will knock out Conor McGregor. He's going to go Joe Namath, the guy that you're very familiar with. 100% sure he knocks out Conor McGregor. Your thoughts?
He probably does.
He doesn't knock him out. He doesn't knock him out to a 10 count.
No.
It's a doctor stoppage or a corner stoppage.
Yeah. Mayweather hasn't knocked anybody out in a while, so.
Well, 2011, he knocked out Ortiz. It's not that Mayweather doesn't have knockout power. It's that if you look at the way Mayweather's knockouts have come, they've come less and less as he's climbed weight. Now, he's only fought three times over 150 pounds. Once against De La Hoya, waltzed his way to a point victory. He did it against Miguel Cotto, waltzed his way to a point victory. Did it at a catchweight with Canelo Alvarez, waltzed his way to a point victory. I don't think he gets a point victory in this game. In this fight on Saturday, I think he gets a stoppage of Conor McGregor. But let me try this on. You and I have been so critical of Conor McGregor, and I'm with you. And look, Monday will be accountability day for both of us if Conor McGregor shocks the world, if he does. And if Conor McGregor, in fact, does beat Floyd Mayweather, I will be the first to say on Monday that he is one of the most elite combat athletes of all time. I'll have no problem saying that. If he beats Mayweather on Saturday, I have no problem saying that. The reason I have no problem saying that is because I know it's not going to happen. And if it does happen, it's so much of a shocker, I have no other choice but to admit that he's that elite as far as the combat sports go. If McGregor does beat Mayweather, what will you say on Monday?
I will apologize for everything that I've ever said that he has no chance, but I'm not worried about it.
Will you claim a fix? Will you? And this is the thing. This is where it gets slippery. You and I listen to a lot of sports talk radio outside of Drive Time Sports. That's a legitimate question. Will you claim fix? If he loses this fight, would you claim a fix?
No. But I know it's out there. But no.
It's not going to happen, right?
No, it's... Conor McGregor has 0% chance of winning this fight.
Well,
I'm going to stick with that.
He's got a 1% chance. He's got a 1% chance because he's got power in his left hand, he's wearing 8-ounce gloves, and Floyd is 40, hasn't fought in 2 years. There's his 1% chance right there.
That's it, because... Floyd hasn't fought in 2 years. I'm at zero. He has no chance. And I'll continue to say that.
I'm saying 1% chance, so I'm not that far off from you. But again, when it comes down to it on Monday, I guess it is within the realm of possibility. A lot of people are putting money on Conor McGregor. And the gambling aspect of things, it's always interesting to me in Vegas. I was reading an article on Forbes that if McGregor was to win, Las Vegas would take a massive blow Saturday night, Sunday morning, because 65% of the bets that have come in have been on Conor McGregor. And astronomical odds started off. Mayweather was once a 25-1 favorite. Now it's dipped to he's a 3-1, 4-1 favorite. I think he's a 4-1 favorite is what he is. Terrible bet at this point in time on Conor McGregor. Don't bet on Conor McGregor. I'm telling you right now, it's a terrible idea at this point in time with those odds. 25-1, sure. Go ahead and put $10 on if it's going to make you feel good. Right now, no. Stay away from that. But that's a legitimate topic. If, in fact, he does win, what will you say on Monday? You say you'll apologize wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I'll say I'm sorry. But I'm not worried about it.
We got to get out for a quick commercial break. Again, on the show today, we are going to talk some college football, Pac-12 football. That's coming up. And also Coach Tom King of the Carbon Dinos. When we return here on this Thursday edition of Drive Time Sports.
Your car hasn't been running right, and you finally have a weekend free to start working on it. Well, lucky for you, J&D Automotive has extended their Saturday hours to help you get what you need to get the job done. J&D Auto's parts department will be open from 9 to 5 on Saturdays. At J&D Auto, you'll find name brand parts and an expert staff who can make sure you're getting all you need to get the job done right. The next time you're looking for the right part to get the job done, head to J&D Automotive on Main Street in Castledale. And now on Saturdays from 9 to 5.
Every great team starts with a great coach, and we at Jake Miller Financial Services want to be your financial coaches. It is our mission to help clients understand their financial lives and achieve their financial dreams. Let our experience and knowledge guide you through the game of life as we provide you with only the highest quality of information and services to help you reach your financial goals. Call us for an appointment today at 637-5433. With Jake Miller Financial Services, it's a beautiful retirement for the win.
BentMetalOffroad.com. It is the only name you need to know for customization of your side-by-side, cages, windshield, seats, bumpers, or performance products. See the possibilities at BentMetalOffroad.com.
Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. The Carbon Dino boys golf team continues to roll through the region season as they claim their third straight victory in as many region meets this past Tuesday in Roosevelt at the home course of the Union Cougars. Carbon heated things up with their play at the third event. They finished with a team score of 308, and they increased their lead to a blistering 97 strokes in Region 14. Second place went to Union with 324 strokes, and Providence Hall took third with 337. In fourth place, it was Delta with 370, followed by American Leadership with 380 and Juab with 385. Mesa Prep finished in last with 417. The Dinos were led by the solid play of their seniors, Riker Smith and Ryan Gagan. Riker finished the medalist for the tournament. He shot a low 72. Ryan Gagan had another great showing with a score of 77. Carson Martinez finished with a strong 78, which is his best score of the season. Brady Gagan and Zaid Carrillo tied with scores of 81. And Tyler Yakovich completed his round with an 87. Also making the trip were Cadence Levinsky with an 87 and Jordan Penovich with a 94. The next tournament will be held on August 30th at the Ranches Golf Club in Eagle Mountain. It will be held by the Providence Hall Patriots. Coming up tomorrow, the Emory Spartan football team will play host to their first home game of the season as they welcome in the Summit Academy Bears right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Emory is looking to log their first win of the season. On Friday, they suffered a 21-14 loss to the Richfield Wildcats. Yesterday on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we were joined by head coach John Famalo, and he talked about the team's performance.
I mean, we had plenty of opportunities, and we put the ball on the ground two times, and we only had one takeaway, and so, that's the difference in the ball game. We fumble on there, our own 15, and, we cough it up on a drive on about the 20, 25-yard line, and, I think we score there, and, different ball game. So turnover was a big factor, and, a lot of mental mistakes and other things that we did that, kind of cost us the game.
Despite the loss, the Spartans received great play on offense from junior quarterback Kyson Stilson, who was competing in his first game as a full-time starter at the varsity level. Coach Famalo talked about his quarterback's play.
I thought he played well. I was encouraged by that, by his play. He's a kid that he made a lot of plays with his legs, and that's one thing I told our kids is that even with Kyson, he's a playmaker, but we need to be an efficient playmaker, an effective playmaker, and that, we need to be efficient in our offense. But he made some plays that, wouldn't normally get done with a different quarterback, and, that was nice to see from him.
You will be able to listen to this interview in its entirety tomorrow during the Landon's Diesel Service pregame show. Live coverage will begin right here on KOAL, beginning at 6:30 p.m. Now we stick with high school sports and we take a look at the schedule today between Emory and Carbon. It's going to be an extremely busy day and we begin with the Emory Spartans. The volleyball squad will play host to Carbon tonight at 6 p.m. It'll be the first contest of the season for either team. And while both teams are in the 3A classification, tonight's contest is a non-league tilt. Elsewhere, the Emory High School boys golf squad will travel on the road to meet San Juan. The girls soccer team will look to log their second consecutive victory as they travel to South Sevier. And the girls tennis team for Emory will also be in action tonight beginning at 3:30 p.m. They travel to Richfield. We take a look at the schedule for Carbon High School. And tonight, again, the volleyball team is on the road to take on the Emory Lady Spartans. The Carbon Lady Dinos soccer squad will look for their second Region 14 win. They most recently defeated Union. Today, they travel to beat Providence Hall at 3:30 p.m., and the girls' tennis team will be back in action. They'll take on Mesa Prep. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. And you can also listen to exclusive interviews with local coaches as well as national guests on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, which is Monday through Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini. Marty's Pawn and Arcade, located on First South in Price. Marty's Pawn and Arcade features the finest in sports memorabilia, autographed items, collectible art, and so much more. No matter what sideline you're on, they'll have your favorite team's collectibles. No team is out of market at Marty's Pawn and Arcade. From past legends to current stars, Marty's Pawn has the sports memorabilia you're looking for. That's Marty's Pawn and Arcade, located on First South in Price.
Hello, this is Dr. Blake Hillstead with Castle Valley Orthodontics. I recently took over Dr. Broadwater's orthodontic practice here in Price. I'm excited to work with the patients and community here in Carbon and Emery County. We provide orthodontic treatment for children, teenagers, and adults, and also offer Invisalign, the clear alternative to braces. My passion is creating beautiful smiles one person at a time. Call us today for your free smile assessment at 637-2222.
If you can't swing like a pro, you can at least look like a pro with the help of TK's Pro Shop at the Carbon Country Club. TK's has it all from clubs and balls to lots of hats and shoes and a great selection of shirts with many colors and sizes to choose from. With the help of the experts at TK's Pro Shop, not only will you look like a pro, you'll be playing like a pro too. The golf course awaits. Get in and gear up today at TK's Pro Shop at the Carbon Country Club Golf Course.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 107.3 FM, 750 AM. You know, in the midst of the high school football season, you got soccer. We have volleyball that's kicking off tonight. I mean, there's just a lot going on. But I'll tell you one team that has performed extremely well here in the Castle Country, the Carbon High School golf team. They have a 97-stroke lead in region after only three meets. They dominated once again this past Tuesday, this time in Roosevelt. And joining us right now over the phone to talk a bit about that, we have head coach Tom King. TK, how you doing today?
Good, Jordan. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you, Coach. It has been a busy couple of weeks for you guys. We haven't talked to you since the beginning of the season. We're now three meets deep into the season, and you guys have developed a 97-stroke lead. Most recently, you picked up a 16-stroke victory on the road in Roosevelt against Union on their home course. Coach, all in all, how have you assessed the way the boys have played so far this year?
You know, they've been playing pretty good. You look at the scores this year, it's a little higher than I wanted to at first when we talked about Mazur, you know, shooting the 314. You know, we want them sub 310. And, you know, it's really close. But, you know, this week they played really well. They shot a 308. They're getting a lot closer to where they need to be for the state tournament. Right now with the region is the way it is, it looks like we're pretty dominant in this region. So we need to focus on each week, and we're playing against ourselves, for that matter. We're playing against a certain score. And if we can continue to do that, winning the region will take care of itself. But we need to get ourselves ready, prepared for state over the next few weeks.
You do have a couple of seniors, obviously, with Riker and Ryan on this team. Outside of those seniors, is it difficult for the younger kids to play against themselves and reach for a certain score? Or is that kind of easy as a golfer?
No, I think it's very possible as a golfer. That's something you should strive for every time you play golf, no matter if you're playing competitive golf or just recreational golf on your own time. You set a goal that you're trying to break on a certain score each week or each time you tee it up, and you go from there, and you're playing against yourself. And so if those kids can realize that and just they're setting their goals each week and hopefully achieving those goals, we'll be fine.
We talk about the meet earlier this week. Riker fires a 72, and then you have Ryan come in at a 77. As far as a 1-2 punch, that's pretty dang good. I mean, comparing it against other teams throughout the 3A tournament, it looks as if your number three and number four golfers have to reach a certain goal, but 1 and 2, it looks like you're sitting fine right now.
Yeah, we are. You know, the week before is both Gagans played really well. In fact, Riker had probably his worst event so far. He shot a 78 over at Delta, but both Gagans came through. Ryan shot 74, which is 2 over par, and little Gagan shot 76. he had a really good breakout tournament. And Brady Gagan is going to be, you know, the future of the high school golf team here after this year because you've got Riker and Ryan graduating. Brady's going to be that future as a sophomore this year. And I see him potentially, especially in this region right now, there's no reason why he should not be a region medalist next year and a potential state championship or state individual champion coming up. So I'm trying to get those four and five golfers to understand I don't need them to shoot even par by any means. But if they can go out and shoot a 77 week in, week out, I mean, we'll be very, very solid, especially after this week. You know, Riker's 72 is a great score. Don't get me wrong. He shot 72. That's even par. But the kid was 300 par through 10 holes and then played the last seven holes not very good, not like himself. He hit some very loose shots, didn't hit some good shots, and ended up shooting even par where the kid could have came in today or that day 300-400 par, no problem. And both Gagan and Ryan Gagan and Carson Martinez squandered some shots down the stretch. So the 308 could have been really good. It could have been a sub-300 round for sure. So it's just a matter of getting those fine-tunings.
At the beginning of the season, you mentioned Zade Carrillo to me, a kid that really impressed you, didn't make the team last year, came out during tryouts this year and was really good. Shot an 81. How important is a kid like Zade to the team long-term when you look at the grand scheme and the main goal?
Extremely. You know, and I think maybe cutting him was a good thing last year. It put a fire underneath him because he did practice all summer. That 81 is huge, and looking at his round last week, he had, I think, 5-3 putts. So there's a potential where he could have definitely played a lot better, you know, and taking those 5-3 putts and saving three of those, that's a 78 all of a sudden. That's what I need out of that position. Zade's been solid all week. He's going to travel each week now, but he's definitely been solid. And I think that's where I need to get him. If I can get him to realize that he can shoot 78, 79 consistently, that'll help huge.
I was talking to a couple of people who were in attendance at the tournament, and they talked about some tempers flaring a little bit with the kids. I know in some sports, basketball, football, baseball, volleyball, whatever sport we're talking about, most of the time that's a good thing. Do you like to see that kind of fire from your kids, or is that a complete absolute no-no considering the etiquette of golf?
Well, you know, the temper, I think it was put out of perspective a little bit. The tempers weren't that bad. There was a discrepancy on a score on a hole. That should never happen on a golf course as far as amongst other teams and players. Fired up, temper as far as themselves, getting upset with themselves and how they're playing, absolutely, I love that. I think that's a very good thing, and I think that pushes them and makes them, that shows that they care. They want to play really well. I don't want to see him get in an argument out there with another team. I mean, this is not a physical sport by any means. So that I don't want to ever see. I don't want to ever see him get mad at another team and try to cause problems with them. Because not only are we an etiquette school, an etiquette game, but we're Carbon High, and we need to show that we are not just the best players out there, but we're also the best kids out there.
Again, being joined by Coach Tom King of the Carbon Dino Golf Squad. Coach, next up, you guys will travel to Eagle Mountain. That's going to be the home course of Providence Hall. It's going to be on August 30th. What do you know about this course?
It's actually the Ranches Golf Course. You know, I played it a long time ago when I was one of my friends became the head professional there, and he asked me to come up and find a pro-am for him. It's a very link-style golf course. When I did play it, the wind blew a lot, and I think the wind blows a lot out there. So that, you know, target golf is going to be something that they're going to be after. I think it's hit the fairways for sure. You don't have to probably hit it long. I can't remember how long the golf course is, but I think hitting the fairways is going to be a key. Getting it in play off the tee is really good because I think there's some long grass, long fescue, so if you hit it offline, you can have some potential lost balls.
All in all, it looks like, I mean, you guys are definitely the cream of the crop. Again, a 97-stroke lead in this particular region. Who's that squad, though, that you guys have to pay attention to? Maybe one that could sneak up and steal a region meet if you guys aren't careful.
Well, I think it's going to be next week. You know, at Providence Hall's home course, you know, and that's where we had some discrepancies on the golf course last week, is the one kid from Providence Hall thought, you know, one of our kids shot a different score on a hole or scored a different score on a different hole. And so there was some discrepancy there, and I think it's just because they want to beat us. I don't know if they like us or not. I really don't care. But I think they really want to beat us. And with them being on their home course and they know the advantages there, I mean, next week's probably my biggest challenge right now, I think. Going into next week, I want to make sure we win that match, because then we come back to our home course, which we know how to play this golf course, and then going to JUEP, the kids have played that many times. And then Spanish Fork, by the time we get there, you know, it's a little tricky back nine, but it's a lot of similarities to here. So I don't think I'm too worried. I just want to get through next week.
Where do you look at as far as improvement for this team, especially when you have such a big lead in the region?
Well, we're going to concentrate on short game. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to work on our short game because there's too many three putts, too many chips. That's for sure. So I want to concentrate on short game. If they can work on that, that'll be good. But also I need to put a premium on hitting fairways, getting the ball in play. I don't want to see a lot of wasted shots with out of bounds, hazards, penalty shots, stuff like that.
Is it difficult for a kid in over the course of a golf meet, knowing that you have your two individuals that are going to stand out, is it more difficult for a kid to play it safe and get a score that you can use in your top four rather than just shooting, I mean, constantly for the green? Is that something that you have to try to teach these kids?
Yeah, you know, I'll go out there. I don't see Riker much, and I don't see Ryan when I'm out there coaching the kids. They know how to play golf. They've played many tournaments golf. And they know what they need to do out there. So I don't really need to go help them. But I'll go around to the couple younger kids and explain to them that we're not shooting a score. We're just playing shot by shot. So if they hit the best shot they possibly can at that moment, and if it's the best shot they can hit, the score will take care of itself. But we talk about ball positioning or, you know, course management. When I'm out there, you know, maybe let's try to hit it here instead of going for this tougher shot and causing ourselves a potential high score. So that's what I need to do. I need to concentrate on those, you know, that spot, 3, 4, and 5 spot. Be with them. Try to keep them calm down. Understand each shot is most important at that time and not look ahead and try and say, oh, I'm going to shoot 70. I'm going to shoot 75. Let's just play the hole by hole, shot by shot, and see what happens after we're done.
We'll end with this, TK. Have you paid attention to other scores from around the 3A classification? And if so, who are some of the schools that you definitely have to pay attention to the rest of the way?
Yeah, absolutely I have. You know, the other region with North St. Pete in there, we used to play against North St. Pete. I think they shot 293 or 295 at their home course last week, which is very easily done at that golf course, especially when it's your home course. Them and Grand, those are the two schools right now that I'm still worried about. Going into this year, I definitely thought we can win state. I still think we can win state. I think this is probably the best team in the 3A classification. But Grand is tough. Grand has won many state tournaments when they were 2A, and now they moved up to 3A. And then North St. Pete was, you know, very competitive with us last year, and they've got a lot better as well. They've got three kids that have improved a lot. The Garlic kid's a senior. The Dillman kid's a good player. So they've got some kids that can shoot scores, and they've already played at the state high school match, or the site, at Richfield this year, and I think they shot I believe it was a 320, I'm not sure, and I think Grand was right in that 310s, 313 range. And so, you know, that's kind of what I've been looking at, is I kind of pull up the newspapers from those local areas to see where they're at. I couldn't tell you much about the northern schools in the state, the 3A state classification. Looking at the scores from previous state championships, they don't really stand out to me. So I think our biggest competition at state right now is going to be North St. Pete and Grand.
TK, I always look forward to the conversations. Thank you again. Congratulations on another meet win. Best of luck next week, and I know we'll talk again real soon.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I hope they do well. This is the big one for us.
Definitely. Could set you guys up nicely coming back home.
Yeah. It's we've got a goal to have a certain shot lead by the end of the year, and we're on our way, but we'll see what happens this week. This is a big week.
Thank you, TK.
Thank you.
Again, that's Coach Tom King of the Carbon Dino Boys Golf Squad talking about their dominating performance in the early portion of the season. Three meets down, a 97-stroke lead. We've got a break for just a moment, but we do have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this. KOAO 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Many people believe baby teeth don't matter because they're just going to fall out. The truth is, baby teeth do matter very much. Good dental health in children fosters good nutrition, aids in speech development, builds self-esteem, and enables children to learn better in school without the distraction of dental pain. Dr. Markham and Dr. Lund with Price Pediatric Dental are here to make sure your child's dental health is in check, all while making it a comforting and inviting experience for children. Call today and get your child on the road to good dental health. For appointments, call 637-9590.
Remember growing up and spending those summer days at the park? Summer picnics were always accompanied with some juicy chicken from KFC. At KFC, the Colonel's secret recipe is still going strong, and their $20 fill-up meal has got your picnic covered. That's right, just $20 will feed your family well with 8 pieces of chicken, a large coleslaw, 2 large bowls of mashed potatoes and gravy, and 4 biscuits. Grab your kids a blanket and a $20 fill-up meal and let the summer picnic tradition continue with the help of KFC.
Hi, this is Joe Peterson, Chancellor of USU Eastern. I'd like to take a minute to brag about some of the amazing students we have here at USU Eastern. With the flooding that hit our community, USU Eastern student-athletes gave up valuable practice time to help a community that has become their second home. From filling sandbags to cleaning up projects, our students logged more than 5,000 man-hours during the flood relief efforts. Thank you, student-athletes. For more stories about the outstanding students we have here at USU Eastern, visit our website at usueastern.edu.
Every year at Castleview Hospital, we award one employee who demonstrates compassion and unwavering commitment to helping others with an award known as the Mercy Award. I am proud to announce that this year's winner of the Mercy Award is Nurse Leslie Lauritsen. Not only does she go above and beyond with helping patients and coworkers, but she also volunteers time in the community by teaching basic life support at the high school. From me and all the staff at Castleview Hospital, congratulations, Leslie.
This is Derek Favors, number 15 from the Utah Jazz. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game. Harris, pick and roll. Favors takes it strong and one. Oh, my. Watch Derek Favors take a leap right here.
We're back here on Drive Time Sports. Going to talk some more Pac-12 football. Got into this a little bit on the show yesterday as we closed out the show. Didn't get to go into great detail. We were talking about Sam Darnold, USC, Clay Helton, what kind of hot seat he is on. We did touch briefly on the hot seat that Jim Mora is on. And I think we can agree the two hottest seats in college football right now, Brian Kelly and Jim Mora.
Yes, I agree with you on those two.
Yeah, two hottest seats in college football. Let's start by talking about the Pac-12 South. And Utah, again, we got into them a little bit yesterday. They're 16-11 in Pac-12 play the past 3 years. 28-11 overall. Whittingham is one of the most underappreciated coaches in college football. I said that on the show yesterday. I'm going to go back to it. And I'm not being a homer here because we're a Utah station. He's one of the most underrated, underappreciated coaches in college football. Because when you look at the lack of consistency that they have had from the quarterback position to win in the Pac-12, to be 16-11 with subpar quarterback play over the past 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, however long it's been, you got to go all the way back to Jordan Wynn. Who was never healthy. Consider that for a second. They went, I can't even remember how many years, without having the same quarterback start and finish the season. I believe Brian Johnson was the last quarterback to do that, up until recently when they had, Troy Williams did it. But now you have Tyler Huntley, who I believe is going to be one of the better Utah Ute quarterbacks that we have seen in quite some time, and he's a sophomore. And this is going to do well for Utah. They may take some bumps this season because I'm a little bit skeptical about their secondary. I don't know how good their secondary is actually going to be, but up front they're going to be very good. Kyle Fitz is back from an injury. Special teams-wise, they're going to be very good once again. We did talk briefly about the Utes non-conference games. BYU, that's basically it. But they do get four of the toughest teams from the North in Stanford, Oregon, Washington, and Washington State. So their ability to reload when they have inexperience under center and inexperience in the secondary, it's definitely going to be tested. But again, Whittingham has earned the benefit of the doubt. I have to believe that this Ute team is going to win 8 games this season.
Yeah, for Utah, their problem is when they get to the month of November. If you go back to 2011 till last year, in the month of November, they're 8-16 in that stretch.
That's a problem.
That's a problem. Down the stretch, this team folds. And they've had chances the last 2-3 years to win the Pac-12 South, and the month of November creeps up, and somehow they just stumble.
Well, I don't know that they fold, though. I think it goes back, and again, I don't have the statistics sitting right in front of me, but it goes back to not being able to start and finish a season with a quarterback. And I don't think they have that problem now. And if Williams is going to be a captain leader like he was last season, he'll be there coaching Huntley. And I think this is going to serve the program very well. Kudos to Coach Kyle Whittingham for not just saying, okay, here's our senior. He started every game for us last season. He was our captain. We're going to roll with him as our starting quarterback by default. Nah, he didn't win the quarterback battle.
No, he wasn't.
And you don't see this often. So, again, I tip my hat to Whittingham for that. Let's look around this division. Colorado. Last year, they went 10-4. They went bowling for the first time since 2007. They finished ranked in the AP poll for the first time since 2002. And going into the Pac-12 championship game, I said that if Colorado somehow beat Washington, and I didn't expect them to beat Washington, but if they did, they had a legitimate gripe for getting into the college football playoff. And Mike McIntyre joins us here on the show once or twice a year. I love Coach Mack. Brilliant job last season. Beyond brilliant job.
He's turned that program into a dumpster and fire to somebody. It's respectable now.
That program was terrible when he took over. And again, if they beat Washington last year in the Pac-12 championship, they go to a major bowl game, which they did anyways. They went to a very good bowl game as it was. But they go to a New Year's Day 6 bowl, and you're looking at a team that was right there in the playoff picture. I don't know if that's going to be the case this year for Colorado.
I think they take a step back.
They're not going to be able to avoid regression. They're going to take a step back. The defense took a massive leap last year. They were under second-year coordinator Jim Leavitt. Finished 16 in yards per play allowed. But they say goodbye to 9 of their top 13 tacklers. 9 out of their top 13 tacklers are gone. In addition, Leavitt, he left. He has the same job now at Oregon. So you lose your defensive coordinator. You lose 9 out of your top 13 tacklers. That's a problem for Colorado. There are some impact players left. They got a cornerback that you got to pay attention to by the name of Isaiah Oliver. Front 7, significant questions. They haven't recruited well enough. And honestly, you got a new recruiting coordinator this year as well. And when I say they haven't recruited well enough, at some point in time, you have to start climbing the ladder as far as recruiting classes. And they're not quite there yet. Now, I'm not saying that this is not going to be a good team, but you will see Colorado take a couple of steps back this season. There's no question in my mind.
No, I'm with you. They will not be as good as they were last year. It's just they lost too much.
We talked about UCLA, the hot seat of Jim Moore. It's been 2 decades since they've last won a conference title. It happened in 1998. Remember when Neuheisel was the head coach and he called out USC?
Yeah, he says that they're going to run California now.
Didn't happen.
Yeah, good job.
Jim Mora, it was exciting for a minute. You're not going to unseat USC. To me, when it comes to college football, UCLA is a step ahead, and if we're going to use a comparison or analogy, they're a step ahead of the Clippers in their battle for supremacy in the NBA in Los Angeles. You're always behind the Lakers. And I always feel UCLA is the same regard with USC. You're always going to be behind USC. USC is always going to be the top destination, right?
Yes.
I know you're a USC guy. Take your USC glasses off for a moment. Tell me I'm wrong there.
No, you're not wrong. If you're picking out of those two schools, you're exactly right. It's like the Laker-Clipper comparison. UCLA's cute. It's a cute story. Cute program.
Basketball's different.
Basketball's different, yeah. It's football.
Basketball's different. Baseball's different. But when it comes to football, I mean, it's UCLA's not on the same page as USC.
I mean, USC's right there behind the Lakers and the Dodgers, and they're in California.
And when I say this, it's the truth. I said this again yesterday. They're in danger of wasting 3 years of a top-5 pick in Josh Rosen. So Jim Mora goes out, brings in Jed Fish from Michigan. He's hoping to transform the offense. The problem with UCLA offensively, it's not Josh Rosen. If you watch UCLA football or enough Pac-12 football, you know the problem is they can't run the ball. They were 127th in rushing yards per game last season.
Yeah, when you can't run the ball, that puts a lot of pressure on Rosen to make plays downfield.
You're wasting his talent.
Yeah, and you can't do that.
Good news is you can't get any worse than that. That's the good news for UCLA. Defensively, Takaris McKinley is gone. Jalen Phillips is a kid that I think is going to be very good, but the defense sits in solid shape. They have a brutal schedule. Brutal schedule. They have just 5 Pac-12 road games this season, but those 5 games, get this, Washington and Stanford.
Loss.
Utah and USC, and they have to travel to Memphis.
I think they lose all 5 of those road games.
You're going to take them to beat Utah, or Utah to beat UCLA?
Yes.
They don't lose to Memphis.
All right, I'll give you that. 1-4 in that stretch.
I think they get 2 games. I think they can get 2 out of that. Stanford, there's some question marks in Stanford. Utah, I got to see what the secondary looks like. USC, they're not going to beat USC. Washington, they're not going to beat Washington. Don't forget, they open up the season at home against Texas A&M. Top game there, too.
That's probably a loss.
It's a brutal schedule for UCLA this year.
Do they get to 6 wins?
I think Jim Moore is gone at the end of the season. Washington, I still say Washington is the team to beat in the Pac-12.
Top dog still.
Even better than USC right now. In fact, Washington, this is how, and Chris Peterson does not get the credit he deserves, I don't think, either on a national scale. This is a true fact in the Pac-12. Washington ended a seven-year streak of either Stanford or Oregon winning the Pac-12. And they blew out both in the process of doing that. And the North, for all the talk of the South, and we talk a lot about the South here because it does hold Utah, and you're a USC guy. The North has dominated the Pac-12. It's dominated it.
Yeah, it has.
The North is 6-0 in Pac-12 title games. No team in the South has won a conference title since USC in 2008. And the North looks like the stronger division once again. I think USC does give the South a chance to win a championship this year in the conference. They're capable of a big year, but still, in my opinion, Washington is the team to beat. And with all the draft coverage that we had this year, if you paid attention to the NFL draft, you saw the amount of NFL talent that Washington had in the secondary, defensively. They were stacked last year. But we talk about their offense because they had the offensive player of the year in the Pac-12, Jake Browning. So for all the talk of Sam Darnold, he was great. Jake Browning's getting overlooked this year. And he's the reigning offensive Pac-12 player of the year.
Yeah, you can't sleep on that kid. Washington,
you can't.
Yeah, I'm with you. I still think Washington is the best team in the Pac-12, too.
Highest scoring offense in the conference. The defense is going to bring back four of its top five tacklers from a year ago. And they led the conference in pass defense, total defense, and scoring defense last season. And they still have quite a few NFL prospects on this team. To me, they're the cream of the crop. Now, we talked about coaches on the hot seat. I asked you yesterday, if Clay Helton was to go 8-4 this year, would you consider that a down year in which you could realistically say this guy's on the hot seat? A lot of people would say no, but again, I want to remind you, after week three last season, every USC fan in this country was calling for Clay Helton's head. Every single one of them. So an 8-4 season, when you were projected to at least compete in the Pac-12, maybe even compete to get into the postseason, that's not good. Rich Rodriguez, that's another name in the Pac-12 that's on the hot seat.
I think him with Jim Mora are the first two to go.
They beat Arizona State to end the season last year, and Arizona State's going to be bad again this season. But they had seven Pac-12 losses by double digits last year. Seven.
That's seven too many.
I think they're going to be better this year offensively. Brandon Dawkins is coming back at quarterback. Nick Watson, if he can stay healthy out of the backfield. They have the weapons. But when we talk about the Pac-12, for me, it's really clear cut and dry. The two best teams come from two opposite divisions. SC out of the South, Washington out of the North, and I think Washington probably gets back to the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I think we're on a collision course for those two to meet in the Pac-12 championship game.
They don't play in the regular season.
No, they played last year and they don't play this year. Yep. It's just that quirky schedule that they have.
We've got a break for just a moment. We'll come back with the final touches on this Thursday edition of Drive Time Sports. Last segment, it's always like a final shot. We're going to tee off on a moment here in just a moment on a particular topic that we haven't really discussed on the show today. It's coming up next here on Drive Time Sports.
Believe it or not, the start of school is just around the corner. Are you ready to pay for new school clothes, school supplies, and of course, those registration fees? Desert View Federal Credit Union has just the loan for you. From now to the end of August, you can get a $1,000 signature loan with a 7.99% rate for 12 months. Desert View Federal Credit Union is ready to help relieve that back-to-school stress. Call 687-2472 to talk to a loan officer today.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA.
There was a day when you could gather your employees around a table for a morning staff meeting, pull out a box of donuts, and everyone got excited. Well, sorry, boss, it just isn't working anymore. We've discovered Big Mo's breakfast menu with a choice of several homemade breads for toast, eggs cooked up just how I like them, and the pancakes. Mmm, so delicious. Dare to change things up to get your staff's attention and have your next morning meeting at Big Mo's. Friendly service, delicious food, and great prices. Find them on 700 East in Price.
Hello, this is Dr. Blake Hillstead from Castle Valley Orthodontics. We are a state-of-the-art orthodontic office specializing in braces and Invisalign for children, teenagers, and adults. We provide complimentary consultations to help you achieve the best smile possible. We accept most insurance plans in Carbon and Emory counties and also accept all Medicaid insurance plans. In addition, we offer flexible in-house financing at 0% interest to make orthodontic treatment fit within any budget. Call for a free consultation with me, Dr. Blake Hillstead, at 435-637-2222.
Hi, this is Mark Holyoke, CEO of Castleview Hospital. I'd like to take a moment and congratulate the staff at the hospital for their hard work, dedication, and tireless commitment in helping earn a ranking in the top 100 rural hospitals in America. The measures that they have helped implement have resulted in better communication, increased specialty certifications, and implementation of infection prevention measures. I am very proud of this recognition, but I am even more proud of our outstanding staff who have readily embraced our approach to quality.
Emory Telecom's new e-fiber internet service is helping business here in eastern Utah. Businesses know that unreliable internet connections can have real costs. Any amount of unplanned downtime can bring business communications and productivity to a complete stop. With new fiber optic internet available through Emory Telecom, your business will experience the fastest, most dependable internet service available. Even during high demand periods, your connection will stay fast with e-fiber. Let Emory Telecom help your business stay connected. Call them today at 613-9605.
You want to feel connected, informed, included, inspired. So when important things happen, we're here. Your local radio and TV broadcasters. America's number one source for news, weather, and information on your radio, TV, computer, tablet, and smartphone. We are broadcasters, always here for you, wherever here may be. Tell Washington local stations matter by texting radio to 52886. Furnished by NAB and this station, message and data rates may apply.
Hi, this is Jason Kidd. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Bescarini, KOAL, 750 AM.
We're back here on Drive Time Sports. I want to end with a quick note on the UFC. We did not talk about John Jones failing a USADA drug test.
Ugh.
The first instance prevented his rematch with Daniel Cormier from ever happening at UFC 200. The latest failure was announced after he viciously knocked out Cormier at UFC 214. Tested positive for an anabolic steroid, and he's still technically the light heavyweight champion, but there's a pretty good chance that he's going to get stripped of his title again, and it may be the last time John Jones ever participates in a UFC event. Now, I'll tell you why this is so devastating. Obviously, and this is what's so hard to say. I mean, I would agree, and again, I'm not going to call myself a lighthearted UFC fan, but based on the knowledge and the people that I've talked to, I think there's the consensus agreement that when John Jones is right, he's the best mixed martial artist the UFC has ever had.
Yes, he is.
But we don't know how clean this guy is, right? I mean, this is always going to play. This is the same conversation. We're going to have the same conversation about John Jones that you have all the time with people on Barry Bonds. Nobody wants to ever legitimize Barry Bonds and his accomplishment based on the steroid scandal. And you're always going to have the same argument with John Jones. What could have been if he didn't get caught with steroids, if he hadn't tested positive multiple times? This goes beyond John Jones. And I think this is a huge problem for the UFC. And if you love the UFC, that's great. But listen to what I'm saying. The UFC's in trouble. And I say that because they don't have any marketable stars to sell pay-per-views. They don't have anyone to move pay-per-views at this moment. The fight cards this year have not been good. In fact, 214, which just happened, was the most anticipated card of the year. And now it's going to be completely wiped from the books if John Jones's B-sample comes back and it's negative. Or positive, excuse me. It's going to be completely wiped from the books. The UFC has always had someone step up that is a heavy hitter in the marketing department. You know, you had GSP. When GSP was on his way down, people really rallied around Ronda Rousey. They really did. They loved Ronda Rousey. That was around the same time that Anderson Silva was starting to float down. GSP was no longer there. And now Ronda Rousey is gone because she was brutally defeated in her last two fights. It kills marketing. It kills the legitimacy of it. Immediately. That's what happened with Ronda Rousey. It was a short-lived stint. You have Conor McGregor. Guess what? I don't think we ever see Conor McGregor in the octagon again. I don't think we do. The reason why Conor McGregor is boxing on Saturday is because he's going to make more money than he could make in seven UFC main events for one night of boxing, in which he's probably going to get worked over. But again, financially, he's got a huge coup. There's another star that is gone. Brock Lesnar has tested positive, right? Failed his substance test. That's a problem. Who do they have right now that you, without question, and if you're a hardcore UFC fan listening right now, you're probably throwing off 100,000 names. I had this conversation with Woody Kane of NASCAR on the show. NASCAR is in serious trouble. I don't want to say serious trouble. They're in trouble right now because they have lost three of their most profitable racers, their most recognizable racers.
Yeah.
They lost Tony Stewart. They lost Jeff Gordon. They're about to lose Dale Earnhardt Jr. And Woody Kane argued with me that Kyle Larson is right for that position. Maybe, but guess what? He's not right now.
I'm not tuning in to see Kyle Larson.
Not right now, you're not.
No.
Right now, you're not.
No.
And for as dominant as Jimmy Johnson has been, a lot of NASCAR fans would argue that he's bad for the sport. Who?
They've changed the rules against him.
So this is the point I'm trying to make. If you're a hardcore UFC fan and you're throwing out names, look at it from a casual standpoint. Who sells fights right now in the UFC? Who's a guy that you are going to pay top dollar? The casual fan is going to pay top dollar. If you're a hardcore UFC fan, I can level with you on the fact that I'm a hardcore boxing fan, and outside of Canelo and Triple G, I don't know who's going to sell mass pay-per-view for boxing, because Floyd Mayweather's done after Saturday. Canelo can do it, Triple G can do it. Who can do it in the UFC? Because you've lost Jon Jones. I don't believe Conor McGregor ever fights again. Brock Lesnar's a name, probably never fights in the UFC again. Who's your guy? This fight on Saturday, and I'm telling you right now, if Mayweather brutally defeats Conor McGregor, he's definitely never going to return to the octagon. In fact, if it's an embarrassment, maybe you get another bout out of him just so he can somewhat protect that legacy. I just don't think he ever fights in the UFC again. Because once we get past the Mayweather fight, he has a fight with Paulie Malignaggi sitting there if he wants it.
Yeah, and he'll take it.
And he'll take it because he's going to make more money fighting Paulie Malignaggi than he will anyone in the UFC. It's just the way the pay scale works. I think this latest Jon Jones issue in the UFC is extremely bad. Not for the sport. The sport's going to be fine. I'm talking about the UFC because, remember, UFC is not mixed martial arts. The UFC, going into the latest sell, everything that's happened with them, this Jon Jones situation is a very, very bad deal for the UFC all the way around. On tomorrow's show, we're going to talk more. We'll talk Mayweather-McGregor. It's the final show before the big fight. And we're also going to talk about a local event that went down this past weekend at the Helpers Arts Festival. It was awesome. We'll talk about that on the show tomorrow. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We're out.
You're listening to News Talk 107.3 FM, 750 AM, KOAL, Price, and Translate.